Hey, I'm Ashley Knight.
And I'm Megan Jackson. Welcome to Messy Masterpieces,
where the houses are messy, and so are our lives, but we're still His masterpieces
and works in progress.
Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen.
Hey, everybody.
Happy New Year. We're not dead.
No, we're not. We just took a long Thanksgiving to Christmas break. Both of our businesses were super busy.
That's a good problem, though, I guess. You know?
Well, yeah. My November, Rodney was like, are we even still married?
I feel it.
Yes, I promise we are. But now I'm home all the time because January's dead, so.
Yes.
Probably wishes it was November again.
No, we don't.
No, probably not. Yeah, it was crazy. It was absolutely nuts.
I'm glad it's over. I feel bad saying, like, I'm glad Christmas is over, but I am. I like the routine and the, you know, I enjoy that more than chaos.
Well, and I mean, Christmas for you is probably like for me, you can't just say I'm going to work these days this week because then you have all these requests for extra things. And, you know, in January, I can say, I'm going to work one Saturday a month and that's fine. You know, nobody cares. But in November, it's 200 Santa outdoor pajama Christmas sessions. And I let it get out a little out of hand, I think.
And then you moved. So that made a difference, too, like you were moving.
I moved homes and studio, and I'm still not quite finished and ready to sell the house, but it's a lot closer. So, yeah. If anybody wants to live in Eagle Ridge.
It'll sell super quick, though, I think. I think it'll sell really quick.
It's so close to that Amazon and the Horsehead plant and things that I hope.
Yeah, it will.
And, you know, like cats out of the bag, so morning sickness has not been super fun either, and...
Yeah, I thought you were dead because you weren't texting me back. You weren't messaging me. I was like, she's dead. She's on Facebook.
I know. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was out of work 5 days. And we only had 15 between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow.
So it has not been super pleasant, but I'll feel like I'm over the hump and then like get sick and be sick for an entire day. And then feel like I'm over the hump again and get sick and be sick for an entire day. But the hormonal headaches are.
Yeah, that's the bad part. I got to silence my phone. It's going to be beeping. I don't know how to turn it off on my computer. Sorry. But so if you hear beeps, it's okay. It's just my notifications.
Okay.
But yeah, well, I'm glad you're doing good. What are we talking about today?
Okay, so our topic today is righteous anger. And I got this topic idea from my friend Sam, so I'm giving her a shout out. I was a little upset about some things probably back before Thanksgiving, about some things that I didn't feel like were fair or weren't being done right or whatever. And she said, you know, Megan, I think God sees what you're going through. And I think He is angry at it too, because I think you have a legitimate right to be upset. And she said, you know, when Jesus saw the people in the temple selling things and had created a marketplace, He literally went up and just flipped the tables. He was angry. And that's righteous anger. And I was like, well, you know, I never really thought about that. I never really thought about how sometimes when we see people doing exactly what we know God would not want them to do, we are angry not for ourselves, but because we know that they're directly sinning against God.
Right.
And that's not from a place of judgment. That's from a place of being His child and knowing what He wants of us. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a fine line there.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's just learning that, you know, in your anger, you don't have to sin, that you can be angry, and there's nothing wrong with being angry, because the Bible talks about people being angry all the time, but it's learning not to sin when you're angry and do something stupid, you know. That's been a lesson for me, because I have, not now, but I used to have really bad like rage. Like I would get really mad over things. And this is even as a Christian, like I would get mad over something, and it wasn't necessarily with like everybody, it was just certain people. And I let my anger get out of control, and I did stupid things because my anger would take control over me. And I think it's learning not to, I don't do that now, but I think it's the environment that you're in sometimes, or, you know, a situation that maybe you feel is, like you said, unfair or whatever. I would literally lose control, and I had to go, okay, this is not holy. This is not the way God wants me to be. But, you know, it's a growing process. We're not perfect, but I can sit and say that I know what it feels like to not have anger that's healthy. That was bad. That was not a healthy anger. It was not. And I'm not proud of it, but I can look back and go, God, you know, redeem me from that. So, and I'm still not perfect, but I don't have that rage like I used to and get upset over things. I know I look so sweet and innocent, but, you know, I could be really mean.
Well, and, you know, I feel the same way. Like I would start off looking from the outside in and think, oh, what they're doing is just not, I mean, God's not going to honor that. It's not something that they should be doing. And that's righteous anger. That's being upset over something somebody should not be doing. When we act upon that anger, or we pass judgment under that anger, that's where our sin comes in.
Right.
So there's, and I really like, we've chosen some topics that really took some study, because I really had to think, like, who is God? And I found a podcast and I listened to it. It's the Stewardology podcast. And I just literally listen to this part over and over. It says, do you know that God sometimes gets angry? God is not just some gentle, soft-spoken grandparent figure sitting up in heaven with casual indifference with what's happening here on earth. When the things of the world get twisted and radically distorted from what he has planned for it to be, it totally infuriates God.
I like that.
And I think when we remember that, okay, he's just not sitting up there loving all his children like a grandparent does their grandkids and bypassing the wrong, you know how grandparents are,
right?
Do that, they're so sweet and innocent. He's not that person. He is the person that says, okay, I created these people and I want them to follow my plan and my will and my word, and that's not what's happening. And you know, Jesus got angry about what happened in the temple, and it was not a sin. It was righteous anger. He knew what the people were doing was against what his father's will called for.
That's right. Yeah. And I think if we remember that if, I mean, because it's easy to get mad over like child pornography or, you know, things in this world that we see that we feel like are immoral or unjust. So it's easy to get, we should get angry over that kind of stuff. But at the same point, we have to remember that we're set apart and we can't allow ourselves to get caught up in the anger so much that we do. You see these people that are like mad about, you know, abortion or whatever, and then they want to go blow up an abortion. Well, that doesn't fix the issue. That's just sinning in that anger. You know, I think that's a good example, you know, or, so I feel like, you know, the verse that just really stuck out to me was, in Proverbs, where it talks about, fools quickly show that they are upset, but the wise ignore insults. And I was like, foolish anger can be very foolish, you know, because I feel like sometimes we're hotheads, I think, you know, or we can be hotheads. And, you know, so I think it's good to remember that God doesn't want us to be foolish in our anger. We can be angry, but then when we start acting like a crazy person and acting foolish, then that's when it becomes sin, and it hinders our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always think of the verse that talks about being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, that's our anger. That's us being angry because we've been offended, not because God has been offended.
Right.
When we see things that offend him, I think that's a little different, because we're literally angry for God's heart. We're angry because someone has broken his heart. We're angry because we knew that they've broken his will for them.
That's right.
Or for what he asked them to do. So I think there's a difference there. I think it's just
Absolutely.
hard as humans not to carry it on to that next step.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because it's, I mean, and I find myself like sometimes I get angry over stuff that like I really have no control over. So it's like, why do I get angry over that when I have no control over it? You know, and it's like it doesn't, and even I get angry over things that don't even affect me sometimes. And I don't really want to say the use the word angry, but I guess we can for this example. But it's almost just like annoyed, you know, when we get annoyed over things that really doesn't have any effect in the eternal realm or in our own lives, but we just let it just eat away at us, and then that annoyance turns to anger, and that anger turns to bitterness. And then we look back and we go, well, how did I get here? How did I get to this point to where I'm so bitter over something that in the grand scheme of life means absolutely nothing?
Right. And we find ourselves drowning in that, not being able to breathe elsewhere.
And I think too, when you get to the point where you're at that, that's when you start sinning and doing things maybe that's out of your character, or that you feel like you would never do if you weren't in, if you had not let yourself get to that point, you know. And I can speak from personal experience, you know, with things in my own life that if I would have taken care of the situation early on and dealt with it early on, I wouldn't have got to the point where I was angry and bitter and causing myself to do stupid things or sin out of something that really I should have not even done anyway, you know. But you let yourself get to that point, then you use it as an excuse and you go, oh, well, if they wouldn't have done this, then I wouldn't have done that. Well, no, that's not the way it works, but that's how we justify it a lot of times.
And, Nehemiah experienced righteous anger too when he discovered the abuse of the poor people. Like it wasn't just Jesus. It was, there were other people in the Bible who were righteously angry because, he saw that what was being done was against what God would have, and he was righteously angry.
Yeah, and even David would got angry over you know, just the way he basically wanted God to like kill people, you know. He was like, just kill them, you know, take their life. And you know, he was, because he was so mad about the way that people were doing God, you know. And so, and the way his enemies were treating him, so he was kind of asking God, you know, in anger, just wipe them away, just get them out of here. And not that that was, I don't want to say maybe that wasn't righteous, but in that point, you know, he was like, God, I wish you'd kill the wicked, you know. And yeah, we want that, but at the same point, it's not, I guess I feel like, yeah, we don't want bad people in the world, but I mean, we can't just be like, just kill them, God. Just kill them, just get them out of here.
And I think, sometimes as Christians, we put what we think is righteous anger into play, and that's how we wind up driving people from churches, and we wind up causing a divide, and that's not righteous anger. I think when we are angry within ourselves because we see somebody sin against God, that's one thing. But when we start pointing it out, like we haven't sinned, that's another. And I think that is one of the things that, well, it's righteous anger. Well, it's not if you have sinned and you are pointing out somebody else's. That's not the same. It's okay to be angry over things that God would be angry about.
Yeah. Well, and there's more verses warning like believers, you know, against like blowing our cool than there are about advocating our behavior, you know. So advocating that behavior, there's more verses on being calm and, you know, the fruit of the spirit, you know, and you know, not being a wise person doesn't, you know, ramble off at the tongue and things like that. So there's a lot of things that, you know, the scripture says about how to handle those things and talks against them versus just saying, oh, well, you can do it, you know, but here's, you know, here's the right way to do it. It's like, it's all about controlling self and dying to self. And I think that's the hardest part. I think more anger comes from selfishness a lot of times than it does from anything, from it selfishness. Does. Because we're looking out for number one, you know, and we can say, oh, we're not selfish, but at the end we are. And it's so hard to die to our desires and our selfishness and be, you know, God-centered versus me-centered, because it's hard. It's really hard to do that.
Right. And sometimes we think we're doing something for the right reason, and it's not always we're back in there somewhere. You know, it's never just, I want this because this is good for somebody else. Yep. We're always in the back there somewhere.
Or somebody we love is always in the back there mm-hmm. somewhere. Mm-hmm. We're looking out for either our four and no, you know, ourselves and our four and no more mm-hmm. sometimes. So
mm-hmm. I have found a lot of anger centered around, you know, my family lately, and not me angry with them, but because of things that have happened to them that I felt like were unfair. And that's been kind of hard, just to say, God has to deal with it. You know, just shrug my shoulders and say, vengeance belongs to him, and that he doesn't like ugly, and that he's not going to allow things to continue that are ugly and against his plan and hurting his children. So, you know, that's a hard thing too, is just to see it and to to just bypass it.
I've learned too, just like being silent sometimes. Like, there was so many times that I know when, like, I went through my divorce, that was one thing that, like, God spoke to me and was like, just be silent, just keep your mouth shut. And it doesn't matter what people say good about you or bad about you. Just stay silent and just, you know, tune into me and focus on me, and don't worry about what everybody else is saying. Just worry about me. Focus on me. I'll take care of everything else. And he does. I mean, not saying that I was perfect, but I'm just saying, or that I handled everything perfectly. But that was just something that he spoke clear into my heart. And I think sometimes when we get angry, it's so nice just to say, okay, I'm going to keep my mouth shut today, because I'm mad right now. I'm ticked off, and I'm going to sleep on that anger or that annoyance or that frustration. And then usually the next day, if you can just hold your tongue, it's not as big of a deal the next day as it was in that moment. You know, sometimes it is, but sometimes if you can just learn to bridle that tongue and go, okay, I'm going to just be silent and be still. And like you said, let God take care of it and let God work it out. And I just focus on him and what he has for me, because it's a lot of times things that we go through that make us angry are nothing more than part of our testimony and our witness that we can use to help somebody else. But that silence is sometimes so important to remember, because, you know, our words get us in trouble a lot. Our tongues get us in trouble a lot.
They do. I already had a moment like that this morning, where I stewed on something for too long, and it was something I was righteously angry about at first, and then it became about me.
Yeah.
And that's hard. You know, we can't control what others do. We have a hard time controlling ourselves most of the time. And
yeah,
you know, that's why there's trust and there's faith, and we lean on him to guide us, because we definitely were not created to do this alone. And I think he puts within us a certain amount of, I guess, indignation over the things that we see, especially as Christians who love him and want to follow him. When we see somebody blatantly holding up a sign that says God is dead, or, you know, like, have you ever seen those on the side of the road?
Right.
And that is when you don't roll down your car window and yell at those people, that's righteous anger, because you're upset, because it upsets God. But you don't react.
Right.
I think there's, like I said, a fine line there, because when I was reading this stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. I'm not righteously angry. I'm selfish, you know, whereas I, before I started reading, I was like, well, you know, that displeased God. So I can say what I want to about it, but that's not true. That's judgment. That's
well,
different.
And I think too, as women, a lot of times we take and we kind of keep, we don't say nothing and it builds, and we don't say nothing and it builds, and we don't say anything and it builds. And then before you know it, we blow a gasket over something small. Like, you know, we've let 10 things build up over the course of a week. And then we walk in and we step on a sock that's laying in the floor that should be in the dirty clothes hamper, and we lose it over mm-hmm. something just so simple. But it's because I think as women, you know, I know my husband does, he doesn't get riled up over anything. He's just like super chill. Like, and me, I'm high strung, you know, and I think I bottle up a lot of anger, or I bottle up a lot of frustration, and then I explode over something. He's like, why are you mad about that? It's not even worth getting upset over. I'm like, but all this other stuff that happened to me, you know. And then y'all start throwing up things over the course of time. And he's like, well, why didn't you deal with that, you know, then? And so he's been really good. Like, if I'm upset about something, he makes me talk about it. And he'll be like, you need to get it out. You need to talk about it. You need to get it out. And 9 times out of 10, that works. And having that person that you can talk to and vent to, and you know, you have your friends that, you know, I can call and I can go, I just need to vent to you right now. And you know, it's not going to go anywhere else. And when you hang up the phone, you feel better, and you go, and maybe that's not always the right way to handle it sometimes, you know, but I feel like we need that. We need that person that we can vent to and we can talk to. Yes, we should do it to God. That's most important. But I think we do need people too in our lives that we can count on, that we can vent to and talk about something. And we know that, oh, if I call Megan and I tell her this, I don't have to worry about her going and telling everybody in town what I told her about my sin or my frustration or my anger or what's bothering me. So I think that's important to remember too, that, you know, as women, I think we bottle up a lot of anger and then it explodes, which is not righteous. Right. And it's just, but that's our, I think that's our nature. A lot of women's nature, because we want to be everything to everybody. And it's hard sometimes. So we end up exploding on the people that we mm-hmm. love the most because over something silly.
And, you know, like you said, you want to be everything to everybody. So then when things happen that hurt you, you feel like it's a personal attack because
That's right.
You've tried so hard. You have tried so hard to please this person and that person and do what this person asks of you. And we find ourselves on deadlines and with a million things to do in a day. And then when one of those people that we've busted it for turns around and hurts us, that often sends the tailspin, and mm-hmm. that's where selfish anger comes from. It's
right.
Not righteous. It's I did all this, I did it, and then mm-hmm. they did this against me. And then that's where we kind of want to step in God's shoes and have that moment of vengeance, or we think payback is the way, and it's not always the way. It's never the way, but
sometimes it's the way. No, I'm kidding.
You just want to explode. Sometimes you know
that Freudian slip. Sometimes it's the way. Sometimes you gotta pay them back. Okay.
Well, and sometimes you have the ability to, and it's not always cruel. Sometimes it's just, but I think God has a sense of humor too. I have to believe that. And
he made us so definitely.
I believe that sometimes he allows us to see a little bit of his vengeance. He sometimes I think he thinks we deserve it just to see what might play out next for somebody who's wronged us. And, you know, I could be wrong, but.
And two, sometimes I think that we get so caught up in, like you said, revenge or payback, and God is, you know, and yeah, God says, you know, vengeance is mine, you know, and we know that, but sometimes it's good to rest and know that, you know what, even if I don't see it, it's coming. And even if I don't see it physically with my eyes, it's coming. If they don't get things right with the Lord, it's coming for them, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to sound like, well, you know, kind of writhing my hands and being like, ooh, ha ha. But it's good for our spirit to know that when we do what's right and we've been wronged, that, you know, we don't have to worry about getting angry about it because God is going to take care of it. Just if we're going to believe that God's going to take care of our sickness, or that God's going to take care of our kids, or God's going to take care of our finances, we also have to believe that God's going to take care of those that do things against us just as much as he does the other stuff. So if we have faith in those situations, we also have to have faith and not get angry when we don't see that payback, for lack of a better word, or we don't see the vengeance. But that's easier said than done, because I think anger is such a raw emotion that it's hard to, you know, we can have faith in healing and have faith in finances, but having faith that somebody's going to get what they need to get is hard. And I know that sounds bad, but that's our,
letting
that's,
ourselves
that's our
get wrapped
feeling.
Up in that steals our joy. Letting ourselves get wrapped up in waiting.
That's right.
It steals our joy. It just, it does. It does. I couldn't imagine all the joy that would have been stolen from my life, you know, over the last 2 years. But, you know, he restores, he brings joy, and vengeance belongs to him. And we just to shrug our shoulders and say, he'll handle it. He's the Lord. He has the power to control every situation in everyone's life. And
we forget he's not standing up pacing the floors of heaven. You know, he's seated on the throne, and he, you know, the earth is his footstool. That's what scripture says. And we can't worry about those things. He's not worried about it. So we just have to just trust that, you know, we just have to pray. And the hardest thing, I think, is when we're angry is to pray sometimes, especially pray for the person that we're angry against. That is like the hardest thing for me, I think. If I'm angry against somebody, it's hard for me to be like, Lord, bless them, Lord, or, you know, convict their heart or whatever it may be. It's so hard to pray for somebody that you're mad at, you know, but that I think is a true mark of, you know, when we're walking with Christ, that we can pray for somebody that we're mad at.
Yep. That's
something I struggle with.
Oh yeah, me too. It's hard to not necessarily pray blessings over somebody you're upset at.
Right.
But pray that he convicts their heart, and that,
right,
you know, I mean, God loves us all, and he wants us all to come to him. And as Christians, we should want the same for everybody. That's just hard. A lot of times.
So I think we should challenge people to maybe pray for somebody they're angry with, you know. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good, I mean, I don't really have, if they're in that situation, not everybody's angry with somebody, you know.
And that would be a good way to turn your anger, your personal selfish anger, back to righteous anger.
That's right. Absolutely.
Pray it away, you know.
Yeah.
Just. You know, some days I feel like I do well with that. And then other days I feel like it is a selfish anger, and we have to be careful there. Are we really angry because God's angry, or are we angry because we're angry? There's a big difference there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Psalm 7:11 says, God is a righteous judge, and God feels indignation every day. There's not a day that he is that grandparent figure sitting up on the throne watching his children run around and play and do things that they shouldn't do. He feels anger every day.
Yep.
Every day. And when we see those sinning against him and we feel anger because we know he's angry, that's fine. Just watch what you do and how you act upon it. Don't make it judgment.
Right. Yeah. And that's hard. But we can do it.
It is. It is. And you know what? As Christians, we can flip tables. We can be angry. Jesus's anger from that temple being turned into a marketplace was the Father.
So if anybody wants to go home and flip some tables and tell us about it, you know, let us know. You flipped some tables when you got to the house or you got to the work or something. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Don't, unless it's in the Lord, you know.
And, you know, I never really thought about righteous anger at all. Like, when I was angry over a certain situation a while back, and Sam mentioned that to me, she was like, Megan, you have got to flip the tables. She's like, this is, you know what's going on right now. Anger's God. She's like, it's wrong. And I was like, well, yeah, it does. But I was like, vengeance belongs to him. And she was like, yeah, I'm not telling you to take revenge. I'm telling you it's okay to be angry. It's okay.
Right.
She's like, flip tables if you need to. You know, Jesus himself did it because his father was angry. And you know, I found myself in a place where I was like, okay, I'm angry. And
Yeah,
I'm
and I think
angry
when
for
you
him.
recognize it, that makes it easier too when you recognize that you're angry instead of just bottling up and being like, I'm good, I'm fine, everything's fine. You know, the t-shirt that says, I'm fine, everything's fine, we're all fine. You know, no, we're really not. We need to deal with our emotions. And because that's healthy to deal with your emotions and go, okay, I'm angry. Why am I angry? What can I do to fix it? If it means that I have to go in and I have to confront somebody or I have to sit down with somebody and just say, okay, you know, I'm angry with you, or whatever it may be, that's the start of the healing process for yourself and for the other person. Because a lot of times when we're angry with somebody, they probably don't even know we're angry a lot of times because we don't tell them. We tell everybody else and we don't tell them. So I think we need to pray about it. And then, you know, if the Lord says, Ashley, go talk to Megan because you're mad at Megan, and Megan probably don't even know you mad at her, go talk to her, you know? And that's what we have to be willing to do. We have to be willing to go and talk to those that we feel like maybe hurt us or angry, that we're angry with, so that we can move on. And I guess that is, you know, proverbial flipping of the tables when we can go in there and confront them and say, hey, this is what's going on with me. And a lot of times it's a lot of miscommunication, or it's, you know, it's not even that solves it a lot of times, I think. But we don't know how to do that. We're keyboard warriors, and we get on Facebook and we make sly remarks or, you know, things like that that don't help the situation, only fuels the fire. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants division, and that's his ammo. Steal, kill, and destroy. And he can do that through anger.
Oh, he can. And you know, he also, when we don't try to do something to get rid of it, it just grows and until we're set completely on fire
That's
by it.
right.
And
Yep.
we burn down our own happiness sometimes by allowing that anger to live for so long.
Yep. You're right.
Like
We
I
solved
said,
all the world's anger problems today.
well, I don't know about that, but I feel like I just needed to discuss that fine line because I had been having, you know, some I really had just never really thought about righteous anger and that some anger is okay.
Yeah,
You know, I always
absolutely.
thought I can't be upset about this or I can't talk to them about that or I can't do this or that because I don't want anybody to think I'm judging them. I don't want, you know, but the truth is that Jesus himself was angry, you know, and the stories from the Bible talk about, you know, like I said, Nehemiah was so upset about the abuse of the poor people where he lived, and it was not selfish of him. He was thinking about them. He was thinking about how they were treated, and he knew it was sin against God.
That's right.
So we just have to, and his there was vengeance was not because Nehemiah was angry or upset. It was because of the wrongdoings. So, like I said, a fine line there, especially hard for us who hold it in till we explode. But
Yes.
righteous anger is okay, and it's good to recognize if who would we be as Christians if we didn't recognize that something was a sin,
That's right.
and if we weren't angry about it. It can
Yep.
be in within us or other people. It's just not our place to say something out of judgment.
Right. I agree.
So,
Yay. Well, I'm glad we got to talk again, finally, you know.
me too.
I'm glad you're
Hopefully.
talking to me again.
Well, January will be hopefully a lot better.
Well, I knew you had a lot. I know you had a lot on your plate, and I had a lot on my plate. And I was like, oh, I feel bad because we haven't
I know
recorded.
that
But
one night we tried to record, I was like, I just left the studio and it was like 11 and you messaged me back at like 1 and you were like, I just left mine. I was like, well,
oh.
I'm not getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning to
No,
record more.
I was like, this is like crazy. But yeah. So hopefully we can record some multiples. That way, if we happen to miss, like we can jump on and add some for our tens of listeners.
I'm hoping maybe Thursday night we can hop on and
that sounds good.
I would love to do something with the fruits of the spirit next.
Yeah, I love the fruits of the spirit. Love it.
On that, so we'll see what.
Okay.
See what comes of that, but y'all don't forget to continue to send us prayer requests.
Yes, and topics too. And we need some guests. We need to do a guest. We need to feature a guest one day. We need to work on that too.
I think I have an idea on that too. So I'll message you and see what you think.
Okay, perfect. All right. Yeah, maybe we can do lunch one day in the next couple of weeks too.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Yay. All right, girl. All right. Have a good day.
Bye. You too. Bye.